Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Seems we are having a little technical difficulties this evening, but to God be the glory, we're still going to continue on. We did have some music planned, but I guess nobody could hear it, so prayerfully everybody can hear me now. Are you with me? No, we can't hear you. All right, I'm not sure what happened with our leader on tonight, but I guess we're going to go ahead and get the show started tonight. This is kind of like not in my realm of doing things, but we're going to let the Lord do what he's going to do. I'm going to open us
can
up
you hear
in
me
a
now?
Prayer. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. There you go.
We can hear you.
Yes, sir.
All right. I don't know what's going on. Hold on a second. Okay, we're back. We are back. Again, I want to excuse everyone for our difficulties on tonight. We have actually, to be honest with you, we're actually broadcasting all over the world tonight. We're in Germany. We're in London. I know it's late there. I'm trying to get everything set up with my engineer, so my mic is hot tonight, so certain people can hear me, certain people can't, but hopefully we got it fixed up now. So, Kay, you're saying you can hear me now?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. Well, we're good. We're good on my end here. We're good on her end. I'm just waiting to hear from my engineer to make sure we're good to go to start our show. Again, this is a new experience for us, a D&K Bible Break. Live here on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to give thanks and honor to the Lord who's the head of our lives tonight. We also want to just say we want to thank everyone for tuning in, listening to us tonight. We're doing something a little different with our broadcasting. We're actually broadcasting all over the place. We're on radio in Germany, and also people in London are listening to us as well. And we're coming out of my home tonight, so I'm not in a studio. I actually made my house into a studio, so the internet, phone, everything got to be right on our end to get the message out. So hopefully everyone can hear us right now, and we're good to go. We got a good show lined up for tonight, very good show. It's going to be, I don't want to use the word show, because it's not a show. We got a good lesson we're going to try to do on tonight. I had to bring some heavy hitter on tonight with me to help me with the show, because I'm going to have a question before we get started. The question is, before I even get started, I'm going to let y'all think about something. And the question we're going to be talking about tonight, can you be saved and not follow Jesus? I know it's going to be deep. It's a simple question. Can you be saved and not follow Jesus? I know everyone's saying, no, that's impossible, but a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it. Just your reasonable service, like Jesus commanded us to do, some of the basic things he commanded us to do, we just don't even do it. And then when I ask the question, a lot of people say, no, you can't do it. It's impossible. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Can you be saved and not follow Jesus? It's a question we're going to hopefully get some answers to. With that being said, that's what we're going to be talking about on tonight. Again, I want to apologize for the technical delay. My apologies. But my engineer is just telling me we're all good to go. We're set up and we're ready to go. So with that being said, I want to thank everyone for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. If you online listening to us, also on the phone lines at 845-277-9094 that called in is listening as well. We just want to say thank you for listening in. Thank you for tuning in to us. But all the broadcast that comes on Chaos Talk Radio is being broadcast all over. And that's just, I'm excited about that. It just makes me want to holler, scream, and testify about a whole heck of a lot. But we got D&K Bible Break tonight, and we want to get started. So I'm going to open us up with prayer, and then we're going to get right into the meat of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And again, what we talk about tonight, you may want to chime in, you may want to write, whatever you want to do. I'm more than fine, and we're learning as we learn together. So it ain't like I'm gonna give you the answer tonight, or you may not get an answer tonight. We just want to talk about something through the scriptures, and then we're gonna go from there. I have a good friend of mine that's gonna be on tonight from Dallas, Texas, the overseer Timothy Jackson. He'll be chiming in here in a little bit with us tonight. I'm gonna open prayer up tonight, and then we're going to get right into it, and you'll hear from my pilot, my co-captain, my mistress, my girlfriend, and my wife. This way, everyone had to get the wife in there last, so people be texting her tonight saying, Derek got a mistress, and my wife is my mistress. Amen. But anyway, with that being said, let us bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight. On tonight, Father God, we want to let your will be done tonight, Father God, and let you be seen tonight, Father God. Father God, hide us behind the cross tonight. And Father God, give us the ability to say what you need us to say tonight, and give the listeners the ear to hear what they need to hear tonight. And not only be hearers of what they hear tonight, Father God, but be doers of what your word is telling us to do on tonight. And Father God, if there's anything in us that's not right, we ask that you forgive us right now, Father God, for the things that we've done that we knowingly did, and for the things that we may not know. We just ask for your forgiveness right now, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to get started, and I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she's going to get us started, and we're going to chime in. And I'm going to bring Brother Tim on, the overseer Tim, here in a little bit. I don't know if this is the way we're supposed to start. I'm going to let you go ahead, wife. Go ahead.
We can start any way we want to start. I have, like, so many scriptures tonight, but if I can just start us out with this one, the first scripture, and then we can go into everything that we're going to discuss tonight. I'm going to draw your attention to Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the basis of a lot of the things that we're going to be discussing tonight. So when I was looking at this, it says you will be saved. In this, Paul doesn't say you are saved. He said you will be saved. So I just thought that was interesting just to get us going. It's like you will be saved. So being saved is, if I could say it like this, believing in the Lord is something that is, it's a continuous thing. It's not like you believe and it's a one-time event. You don't just do it one time. You commit to believing. You continue to believe. You keep believing. So I don't think I need to go into the full gist of it. I want to bring some people on the line that kind of know where we're going, and I want to get their perspective on it to make sure that what I have is lining up as well. But the subject, I believe you gave, can you believe in Jesus but not be saved? That's the subject, correct?
Not follow him. No, if you can believe in Jesus and not follow him.
Can you believe in Jesus and not follow him? Okay. All right.
Yeah, and the reason I want to bring that up is because we were having a conversation, and people I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about people that's believers who believe in Jesus, but they don't follow none of the things that he teaches. It's just like when you believe in Jesus and it tells you you should pay 10% of your tithe and you don't pay it. For whatever reason, you just ain't paying your tithe. I ain't talking about struggling people who hit and miss. I'm talking about people who just willfully just don't pay their tithes. I'm talking about people who generally just cause mishap, just want to cause confusion amongst the brethren. They ain't doing it because out of accident. They just would. That's what they do. You know that's their reputation. You know that's just what they do. I heard a brother say, it was an associate of mine, well, I ain't giving no money to the church, and he gave a reason why he wasn't giving no money. He didn't give no money. He wasn't doing it before Corona. He ain't doing it during Corona. He ain't going to do it after. He just not doing it. And then I just poses a question. How can you serve the Lord and not do certain principles? I'm not going to make it all on tithes and offerings because some of us can't love one another. I'm not talking about your arch enemy. I ain't talking about someone that you know that you can't be with. I'm just talking about generally love one another, your neighbor, your neighborhood, people that you don't even see. You don't even like them because of their color or because of the way they call. You just don't like them. You don't want to make no commitment. You just hateful towards certain people. That's what I'm talking about. Because we all struggle with some things. We all struggle with some type of, we all do that. Everyone does it. The saved or the saved people, we struggle with certain things. And certain things ought to convict us that we might want to get it right. But there's a group of people who, in the church, I've been in church my whole life, who just don't do nothing that Jesus tells us that we ought to do. They just don't do nothing. They're not following him, but they come to church and they can shout up, they can pray, they can cry, but after all that's over with, they walk right outside and continually do not follow what the Lord says to do. They're not in no type of ministry, and if they are in ministry, they just sowing discord in the ministry. It's just a question because I'm trying, I just had to ask myself this, and I have to check myself, and that's where the conviction, where Christ will convict me, and I'll feel bad, or he'll chastise me about something that I'm not right, and I'll try to get it right. I think we all go through that at some point in our walk with Christ. So I'm not really talking about us because we have that relationship with Christ. We know how we're working it. But there's some people who just don't do nothing, but they say that they're saved. Only thing that you know they say is because they say that they're saved. That's it. But they cause more hell than the average sinner man causes. And they write up in the church. They say what they ain't going to do when they come to church. If certain person preaches, I ain't going. The attitudes are not right when it comes to serving the Lord. And I just want to pose a question. And the question is, can you be saved and not follow Christ, if that's the right way of putting it? So tonight I'm want to hear from my good friend, the overseer, who in the last minute said he would come on for me and help me with this. He's out of Dallas, Texas. He was my wife's pastor when she lived in Texas. So I'm going to present him on tonight. He has a show on Saturday, Spiritual Sense of Life, every Saturday here on Chaos Network at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. He also does Freestyle Friday on Chaos Talks as well. So I'm going to bring him on, Overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Derek. And thank you for... thank you for having me. And hello, Ms. K. How you doing?
I'm good. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I thank you, brother, for blessing me to be on. And I thank you for this opportunity. All glory to the Most High. Very happy to be on. You know, anytime you ask me, you know, no matter what, I'll make my way. Yeah. So I was about to take a nap. Brother called me up. I was falling asleep eating. The brother called me up. I said, let's see if the brother said, can you be on? I said, yeah, so here I am. So I'm grateful to be here anyway that I can, amen, anyway that I can be a blessing to the ministry and to you guys, amen. So very interesting subject tonight. you know, I believe you said, can a man or a woman be saved, or can you be saved and not follow Christ? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a very interesting title. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding when you say a person is not. I have to be careful about answering that because I'm quite sure the ears are listening. So when you say a person is not following Christ, and I always like to use myself, for example, over the years when I've taught. So allow me to use myself, for example. We're all human. Let's first state that. In salvation, salvation is free and salvation is through believing. And so none of us are perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But there are times to where I tell people, you know, I'm human just like you. I deal with the same things on a daily basis that you deal with. I have to fight off things just like everybody else. And so there are times to where I get in the rut. I get a little beside myself. I get in my feelings to where maybe a week I don't want to study my Bible. Maybe I feel drained. Maybe I didn't study, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days out of the week for the past 3 or 4 months. And, you know, we get in those type of mindset or moods. And at that point, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts me and say, well, Tim, you need to start back studying or pick up your word, or you need to fast more, you need to pray more. I know the Holy Spirit convicted me this past month, said you need to pray more for people. And so, you know, sometimes I get beside myself and find myself, just like Paul said it best, that thing that I hate doing, I find myself doing. The thing that I love doing, I find myself not doing. That's Romans, I believe it's over the 7th chapter, starts in the 14th verse. But when you say that we're not following Christ, there are times to where if I don't study my Bible, I feel like I'm not following Christ. Now, does that mean I don't listen to my gospel music? No, I'm still listening to my gospel music, or maybe it may be something I may scale back. And I feel convicted to say, okay, Tim, you know better. You have to get back in the right track. Now, that's in my world as a believer that's saved. That would be my example of something, of my shortcoming. Now,
hey, Brother Tim, can I ask you a quick question?
Side. Yes, sir. Sure.
Can
sir.
I ask you a quick question real quick?
Sure.
Now,
yes,
when
sir.
You say
yes,
that,
sir.
When you say that, isn't that conviction from the Lord? And when the, isn't it like a conviction? So
from the Holy
so
Spirit,
you,
yes, sir.
Right, the conviction through the Holy Spirit, right. So what I'm trying to say is we all, I believe, as believers, have had that conviction. What I want to know is, I've come in contact with people
mm-hmm.
who for years does the same thing with no conviction. They don't pay tithe. For whatever reason, they say they don't. They have a reason, everything that they don't do, to follow Christ. And then mm-hmm. you have the ones who sow discord, and there ought to be some, because we all get convicted of something because none of us is perfect. I got that part.
Right.
But what I'm having mm-hmm. trouble dealing with right now is, you know, me and my wife, we have a lot of, I ain't going to call them friends, I say associate. And when you hear their story, I'm like, they've been doing this for 15 years. They ain't paid tithes in 15 years. So my question is, they don't feel no conviction from the Lord, and then they struggle. And then I don't want to make it about money tonight. I'm just using certain things
right.
as Christians that we do in the church, as far as, you mm-hmm. know, we're supposed to support the church. We're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to do certain things. And the more that I talk to people, especially during the corona time, people just, they don't love nobody. And I'm like, how can you say you love the Lord and walk with the Lord, but don't show no love to nobody? As a matter of fact, you don't show no love, but you on the opposite, you want to sow discord amongst brethren. And this goes on, and it's not just, it goes on in areas, in Baptist church, in Church of God Christ. It don't matter where you at. It's all over the place.
Right.
So that's why I want to ask the question that I asked. And if you're a true believer, you kind of know the answer to the question. But if you got to think about it for a minute and be like, you know, everyone that comes to church really ain't saved. I'm not saying it because I don't have a heaven hell to put nobody in. But your actions are showing that, okay, you ain't loving nobody. You ain't supporting nobody. You just here because you want to be here. I feel like I'm talking too much.
Right.
I'm going to let my wife talk for a minute. Go ahead, Brother Tim. I just wanted to get that out there because I know people who are saved that struggle with certain things. I know people who are, and I'm not talking about people who pay tithes and they hit and miss. I ain't talking about you. You're struggling. You're going to get it together pretty soon. I'm talking about people who just don't do, but always talking. And in a minute, I'm gonna deal with it in a minute.
Is that
amen? Okay.
Where that scripture comes into play where it said, well, I'll say come into play, but can you use the scripture that says having the form of godliness but denying the power? A lot of the times people get so religious and they know what to do, how to say it. They know where to fall into place, but there is no true repentance and there is no true turning to the Lord and putting their trust in the Lord and following the Lord sincerely. Is they're not letting the Lord operate in the full power. They're in their flesh. Does that scripture go with that particular situation?
Scripture? Yes, ma'am. Well, what scripture are we?
I think it is 2 Timothy 1 through 4. When it talks about, just in 2 Timothy 3, having a form of godliness but denying its power.
2 Timothy, the third chapter?
Verse 5.
Verse 5. Okay. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to answer your question. And real quick, I'm going to finish my thought. So to answer Derek's first question, and I'll tie it in with your question. You can, when you're saved, as I was stating earlier, and you don't follow through, that's totally different from someone who, and as you're stating here, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is referring to those who are in the church. Remember, we always, and you know, I've always taught, sister, when even used to go to church with us, there's two kinds of people on the planet. That's it. There's no in between. They're believers and they're non-believers. Amen. They're believers and non-believers. That's it. There's no flip-flop. And once you become saved, you're saved. And if you're not saved, you're just not saved yet. Hopefully they'll become saved. You have a lot of these people in the church, which is what you're stating here in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 5, having a form of godliness. These are the people who come to church. They act like church. They talk like church. They walk like church. They sing like church. They smell like church. But they're not saved. Having the form of God, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so, you know, you have to read the context of this verse from verses 1 through 9. And so we are to stay away from these type of people when we see them in church. And I believe Derek was stating something to such where there are people that he know that have been in church for years. Well, think about think it's St. John 14 and 6. I'll go over that in a minute. St. John, the 14th chapter, verse 6. You know, we have to guard our souls from certain people and protect ourselves. If a person is saying that they don't pay tithes, well, why are you not paying tithes? Because the Bible teaches us that his sheep hears his voice, and we are his sheep. Well, if Christ sends out a commandment and says to love thy neighbor as you love thyself, why am I not loving people? Isn't that not one of his commandments? Then at that point, you have a reprobate mind and you cannot be saved. There's no way that salvation or the Holy Spirit lives in that individual. That person is just going to church, as you stated. Does that kind of answer your question? Does that kind of tie into 2 Timothy 3 and 5?
Yeah, that ties.
Right, because if you look at the verses, and I'm just going to read a few verses, if you don't mind, just to kind of support what you're saying. It says 2 Timothy, the third chapter, because this is referring to the latter times, which is the times we're in. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We see these things now without natural affection. These people are not, this is giving an example of people who, they're not saved. This is exactly the context. Right. This is exactly what you're saying. There are people who, they'll say one thing with their mouth, but your actions speak louder than words. I always watch people's actions. I remember, you know, just working around people years ago when I first got saved, I would always watch people. And not even 2-3 weeks later, they'll tell you exactly who they are. Because they'll talk church and godly around you, but as soon as they get around the corner, they're having other conversations. And it tells you, well, that's not the type of person I want to associate myself with. Because, you know, in an example of what Derek was saying, how can you say that you're saved, but you're living a contradictory lifestyle consistently? See, that's what I look for, the consistency. None of us are perfect. But if you don't ever pay your tithes in 15 years, what is that about? Why are we paying our tithes out of 15 years? That makes no sense to me.
The reason I say that, and the reason I wanted to do this tonight is because, you know, the other day I was thinking, I was having a conversation, and it didn't set well with me by what people were saying. And it's just like, wow. And then, you know, my wife, we were talking, and she asked a question, and it kind of intrigued me more, because in a minute, you know, you're around, I grew up in church, been in church my whole life.
Right.
And there's no trick, there ain't no story I haven't heard. But you hear a lot of saints, and it don't matter what denomination I go to, it don't matter if it's Baptist or whoever, and I listen to them, it's like, wow. And the first thing I say, Corona got people jacked, got minds messed up. If you ain't supporting where you go to church, if you're not supporting your pastor and you're not loving people, if you're not doing what we're known to do, I'm not talking about the unbelievers.
Exactly.
I'm talking to people that's in the church. And it's like, the more people you talk to, that there's only a few people really serving the Lord. And I'm starting to trip on that right now. I shouldn't.
Right.
But the older I get, the more and more, and like you say, watch people's actions. You know,
yes,
it shouldn't be, how can I say this? Should no one tell me how to serve the Lord? As old as I am, and I'm not that old, but should no one tell me how to serve the Lord? I know how to serve the Lord. I know how to come together. If you need me, I'm there. I may not be the best, but I'm there. I can give you a hand. I can help. But now it's like, it's hard to find people on the same team. And I thought about this, and I don't want to be too long-winded, but I was telling my wife, you know, if you go and you sit, and I know you work out over here, but if you ever go sit in a whirlpool, and your it's the greatest feeling in the world. And I came up with this thing. I got a message. I'm going to preach about it. I'm going to call it whirlpool worship. And what that is when you get in the whirlpool, you feel real good. Your body feels good. And when you get out and you put your clothes on and that air or the wind hits your body, that same pain comes back. It's right there. It was only good for the whirlpool. You only felt good in the whirlpool. And I got to think about that with church. Church people go to church. They shout. They do all the things that we talk about. And then they go right back in the same condition, in the same shape they were in. So what was all the worship and the praise about? If you're going to do all of that and crying at the altar and this and that and need to do this and need to do that, but you don't even want to support your local assembly. You don't even want to love your neighbor. You don't even want to, you want to sow discord because you don't like this and you don't like that. And things should be this way, things should be that way. And you've been in the church to hear the word week after week, day after day, month after month, and you still not happy. My question is, how are you serving the Lord? But you say you saved, but none of the things, there's no fruit, there's nothing. You always got an issue. It's always a problem. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have, because we all got problems. We all got issues. But it seemed like that's the form of everything. Like the people I was talking to, we ain't in church, I ain't paying my tithe. Okay, well, if that's what the Lord tells you to do, now, my thing is, if that's what the Lord tells you to do, then you do what the Lord tells you to do. But I know what the Bible says about that. I know what the Bible says about serving.
Right.
And I'm just talking about people to serve. Serve your local, wherever you at. I ain't talking about no specific church. I'm just talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord just doing your part. And then when you don't do your part, you get mad because don't nobody want to help you and you ain't help nobody. It's funny because I can have a family member call me and ask me for a loan. But I'm sitting here struggling and I don't have a vehicle. Ain't no one asked me for a ride. Ain't no one did nothing. Now you want me to help you when you didn't even help me. You didn't even ask me to help. Now, I'm just using it as an example. I don't want people thinking I need no ride or anything. I'm just using it as an example. But we, as believers or so-called believers, we want all of God's groceries, but we don't want God. We want everything, the blessings of God on our families, on our finances, but we don't want to serve him. We don't want to love. We don't want to, and we can come up with more
spend
excuses
time with him.
For why we don't do nothing than we do to do what he tells us to do. So that's why I was just asking the question, because I want to be careful when I surround myself around people, a believer. Are you really believing, or are you
that's
just staking the fun? Whirlpool worship.
That's right.
That's basically where I wanted to go tonight, because it's a deep question when you really think about it. Because when I had to think about myself, but I always, everything that I do, I have to center it around Christ. Would Christ be pleased with what I'm doing? And
exactly.
For me, and I'm going to be honest, a lot of times I have to check me, because sometimes I do stuff and I'm just doing it. And Lord, why are you doing it? You know, and if I'm not doing it because he's telling me to do it, then I shouldn't be doing it. And it's very important that when we're serving the Lord, that we're serving the Lord. We're not serving man. We're not serving building. We're serving him. And if you have a relationship with him, you will be convicted on something.
That's
everyone's going to get convicted in the Lord. The highest priest get convicted of something because there's no one perfect. We all working to be perfected.
That's
right. So there's some things in me that we have to do. So a lot of people that I've talked to that's listening to the show now say they don't do this and they don't do that, and they have good reasons why they don't do it. But the question is, if you're not doing it, you're really not following Christ. And if you're really not following Christ, I'm not saying if I ain't got a heaven to put you in, are you really saved is the question. Are you repenting, or are you, you know, we all struggle with something. And that's my point I'm trying to get through tonight. I don't want to keep being long-winded or keep talking. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page tonight. I don't want to leave nobody confused. Who said, Brother Dixon, I ain't say because I don't pay my time. I ain't say that. But if you're feeling convicted, then maybe you need to talk to the Lord about it. If you're being convicted by what I'm saying and getting upset with what I'm saying, well, maybe you need to check where you at with your walk with the Lord, and then you'll be in line. It ain't about me because I ain't calling nobody out. I could call
right.
some folks out, but I ain't calling nobody out. I wouldn't get a good night rest tonight if I start naming names.
Amen.
We're not doing that.
Amen. And I mean, I've heard people say things here, and probably more recent than I have ever in the past, probably the last 5 years, something to the effect that that was the Old Testament. In fact, I remember I had posted a little link on a little short show that I did, and some guy I knew actually responded to it. And, you know, he didn't really respond back to me after I made my statement, but he was saying something to the effect that pain ties to the Old Testament. And I said, well, and then, you know, someone else said something about, well, they didn't give money then. They gave, like, food or whatever to the priest. And I said, well, we understand, but, I mean, you know, you're not going to give the church can't bring the pastor, the minister, whoever, a bunch of food. I mean, there's no way you can consume all that. So the way you transition that is by tithing with your money that you make. So we know that things are totally different than what they were in ancient times. I mean, you know, your offering now, you know, when you give your offering to the Lord, you know, we give offering with cash, with money that we make. And then we know that Cain and Abel gave what they worked, what their hands brought, you know. And so I don't debate with people over that anymore. I tell people to each their own and to pray about it. I still tithe. I still give. I believe in it. Most of the people that I know that give, they're doing pretty good financially. They all got good jobs. Most of them either got their cars or their house paid for. And I've sat back and watched it for years. And I'll even say I've even been convicted for a time. I had stopped paying my tithes. And I used the excuse that I had too many bills or too many children. And in my younger, early years of being saved, I used that as an excuse. And so I had to get out of that because the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, there's no excuse. And I began to give something. And just by giving something, he blessed me and opened the door for me to be able to do the full 10% or more, because I was able to do 7% or 8% consistently. And he made a way, and I said, wow, you know, look at the Most High. And so, you know, to each his own, as you stated, I'm not judging nobody. I don't get into judgment or trying to direct someone's life. But, you know, the Bible commands us one way. It just kind of makes me question people. And as Sister Kay was saying, I mean, even within the context, I was mentioning a reprobate mind. I was just reading this context here, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And if you look at verse 8, it says, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You're just going to have people who are not saved. They're around believers. They're around us. They're in the church, but they're not really the saints of the Most High. You know, they just put on the look. And like, as you said, they just faking it. They have a reprobate mind. Well, I'm not doing that. Okay, but if you say you love him, why would you not do it? Why would you not pay your tithes? Why would you not love the brother and the sister or support the church or, you know, be positive in the church? You know, we see so many things in the church. And I sat back, you know, as a teacher and a minister and a pastor for years, and I watched people in the church, and it's really sad because we got some people who are really, really mature in age, but they don't really mature spiritually. You know, it's amazing to me. It's like you've been sitting in church for 40 or 50 years, and you still got that same mindset. I mean, I actually know people that are very mature elderly people who curse. I don't understand that. I'm like, what's the problem? When they get out of the church, they letting it out, and I just thought to me, and I don't understand why you talk like that. You come to church faithfully, And I'm not saying that because a person may use certain words and not say, I'm not saying that. But I'm just thinking to myself, man, as much as you come to church, wouldn't there be some deliverance from certain things? I mean, that's the purpose of that. We mature.
I'm glad you brought that up about deliverance, because it, to me right now, the church looks weak, because there is don't see deliverance anymore. You don't see that person who was, a cursor, but now he's been delivered, and you can tell that he done made a change. You don't see the change now because we don't preach. We sugarcoat everything. It's okay to do this.
Right.
It's okay to do this. Well, it's all right to slip here. It's all right to slip there. You know, ain't nobody, and we use these certain, ain't no one perfect. And that makes me want to go back to the question that I originally started, because we're really not following Christ. We say we are, but everything he commands us to do, we don't do. We want to sugarcoat it. We want to put a cap on it. Some people won't even, and these is Christian preachers who know how to preach, they won't even say in Jesus' name no more. They won't say it. They won't, they'll the higher power. And I'm like, when you start using that? And I'm like, okay, so now it's because it's political, and they don't want to make ways within the congregation. So the congregation isn't strong because they're not being taught how to be strong.
That's right.
They're not being taught how to be delivered. If the preacher ain't been delivered, what makes you think his member is going to be delivered?
Oh, they won't.
I'm going to say it again. I know I got a lot of people looking at me crazy right now. If the preacher ain't been delivered, hasn't been delivered from certain things, places, or people, what makes you think his members is going to be delivered? Because if you okay with people cussing, if you okay with people just doing whatever they want to do, is it all right with you, then it's a problem. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't come in my house and smoke cigarettes. You just can't do it.
That's right.
The reason you can't do it is, A, the kids in the house have asthma real bad. You're going to make them sick. So I can't allow you to come in to make them sick. I have to put a stop at it at the door. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if I got to put a stop at it at the door because it's going to make my household sick, I don't care what you do outside the house, but in my house, you can't do it because it's going to make them sick. Well, let me do it better yet this way. You can't drink alcohol in the house, period. It's just a rule of mine. You just can't do it. I don't care what you do in your house. That's your business. But in my house, I can't do it. So now that I'm taking it from my house, we got to take it to God's house. And then we got to see what God thinks about it. If God says it's okay to do it in the house, it's okay to do it. But we know we ain't going to do certain things in the house of the Lord. But if you allow it to go on, there's no deliverance. How are these people going to get delivered if they're allowed to do everything in the house? If you're allowed to come in the house and you're a man and you like men and I'm okay with it, then there ain't going to be no deliverance.
That sure won't.
You know, you're going to allow that spirit to come in there, and now you're going to have that homosexual spirit in your house.
That's right.
And there ain't going to be no deliverance because you ain't going to preach against it. And because you ain't going to preach against it, you're going to let it roam wild in the house of the Lord. And that's why I say it's very funny to me that when I talk to certain Christians or associates of mine, and I've been hearing the same old song for years after years after years, it just makes me wonder what's really going on. Because if you ain't being convicted about something, something's wrong. I get convicted about something every week. I'm struggling with something. And it ain't what you think, drugs, alcohol, it ain't none of that. It's spiritual things. What I'm doing with my time, with my walk, why am I doing it? If it's not beneficial to the Lord, why am I even wasting time? No.
Right.
So therefore, you know, as I get older in the Lord, I'm trying to develop myself to be all that he wants me to be. I may not get it right all this week, but I'm going to try. And I'm just, it's just a question I'm just throwing out there. And like I said, I ain't trying to be deep tonight. I'm just trying to ask some questions. Because right now, talking to leaders in the church, whether it's Baptist or whatever, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal, people who are really trying to serve the Lord is trying to get to another level. In order to get to another level, you got to ask the hard questions. And the hard question is, are you really following Jesus? Are you are you really going to follow? Are you really following the Lord? And it comes from every aspect, as far as your giving, as far as your loving, as far as your serving, whatever capacity, whatever you're doing in the Lord, are you doing it to a level that He's pleased with? Because you can't not put on a little bit of the armor and say you're good.
There you go.
And not love everybody. You can't put on the armor and not support your local ministry, your local assembly.
Full armor, that's right.
It seems like it's impossible. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm hoping people are wanting to chime in or want that, you know, feel a part of it. But I'm just trying to let people see, you know, this is a personal relationship. It ain't got nothing to do with you and how cool you is with the pastor or how cool you is with Brother Derek. It ain't got nothing, because you can cool with him all day long. I don't have a head to put you in. It's not my job to put you there. You know, it's not me. And I'm glad it's not my job.
But
at the end of the day, you know, when I'm just, you know, some people got some messed up mind. And I've been, you know, watching these people since I was a kid. You know, I'm like, hey, how did you come to that conclusion? Where is that at in the Bible?
Right.
Well, all these people, all these church, all these ministers, all they want is money. Okay, I agree with you. Y'all heard me on the show. I've talked about it. But at the end of the day, you still got to pay your tithe. Regardless of what they're doing right or wrong with the money, you still got to pay your tithe. You still got to love them.
Right.
You got to like them, but you got to love them. That's a commandment in the Bible. I mean, stuff I'm making up. Yeah, but you just don't understand how these people are. And, you know, I get it, but then again, I don't get it. It's like I'm babysitting people that's 40 and 50 years old, and it's like they're so stuck in their ways. It's like talking to kids. And they're like, okay, well, you and the Lord need to deal with that, because I can't help you there. And it's not my place to help them either. You know, I'm struggling myself, keeping myself above water, let alone trying to, you know. But anyway, that's what I had. Kay, you got anything else?
I just want to add to the tithing situation. When it comes to the tithing and the offering, I'm just a firm believer. It's not that you can pay God for anything. It's not possible for us to pay Him for anything. But when you have a grateful heart and you know where the Lord has brought you from, it doesn't even matter the amount. The Lord is looking at your heart. Are you being a cheerful giver, or are you just throwing money because let me go in and get this over here, and you've given it grudgingly? It doesn't matter what you give. If the Lord knows how you're giving it and you're giving it from your heart, that's all that matters. You may not have as much as the next person. But that person may have a lot and they can give a lot, but their heart is not in it. So everything that you do, trust me, I struggled with when I was younger, when I was first becoming a good steward of what the Lord had blessed me with. I was holding on to my money like, I got to pay my rent. I'm sorry, I cannot pay my tithe. You know, I can't do it. I had a meeting with one of the missionaries at the church, and she just sat me down. I was about 19 or 20 at the time. She sat me down. She gave me the rundown. And I promise you, I started paying the Lord first. Not that I don't want to say I'm paying the Lord. But I started, you know, I started giving to the Lord off the top. And to this day, my husband knows, it's not mine. I'm not touching it. This is going to the Lord. I'm not touching it because I already know what He can do. And it's not about Him blessing me financially. The Lord will bless. You'll be wondering, how did that happen? And how did I get that job? I'm telling you, I had a job made up for me, around me, and when I left Texas, the job disappeared. I'm telling you, God will work things out, and you don't even know how.
Sure
just trust Him with a little bit. Be faithful over a little. just a little, and I promise you, he will do miraculous things. And again, like I said, you're not doing it to get something from God. You should be doing it because he's just that good. Because he's just that good. And you should want to serve him with all that you can. If it's not money, you got time. Call somebody on the phone. Minister to somebody over the phone.
That's right.
Ask them if you can pray for them. Just make yourself available for his service. And it's not. It may not be about money. You may not be at that point where you can give financially. Give your time. Give your talent. You may be able to make gift baskets. You may be able to make, you know, children's clothes, make masks. It doesn't matter. Just do something that will benefit the house of the Lord. Do your part as a child of God.
Hey, real quick, I got Bishop Omar. He wants to chime in.
Amen.
Go ahead, Bishop.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We can hear you,
though. Yeah, Sister Oliver, look, if we was in church, I'd raise your offering right now because I'm sitting over here, and all I know is church. I've been in church my whole life. I'm 41. I'll be 42 in a few weeks. And my background, roots is out of the Church of God in Christ by way of the United Churches of God in Christ. My father in the United Churches of God in Christ rose up to the rank of, at his height, he was the first administrative assistant, presiding bishop. And, you know, I've been taught from day one, we was always taught about tithing to the point you were scared, you know, it was more of out of fear and more out of, later on, once I growed up, it was more manipulation. There was a lot of things that was attached to it that I didn't recognize because I was born in it. This is what I thought was just how it had to be done. If not, God was going to kill you. You know, God was going to take everything from you because you didn't pay a tenth of what your earning was or whatever. And then we were told not just your earnings, but before taxes. So not just the money you got, but the money you made before taxes. And you had to pay off that. And then that went to first fruit. And then that went to when you get your taxes back, you know, you got to give back. And it became more of a law. It became more of nothing about grace and mercy, nothing about that, but it became more of a hindrance than it was a blessing. I started pastoring, and this is just my testimony, and you can't really debate with a person that has a personal testimony. There's really, you know, there's really no argument. And I like what the overseer said. It got to a point where, you know, certain stuff I just don't argue. This is kind of where I stand.
Amen.
and it works for me. It worked for me. We have members in our church now. For 12 years I've been passionate. I've never taught tithing. Never
Amen.
Taught tithing. But we have members in our church that's what they do. And I've told them, if that's your conviction, I'm not going to tell you not to. You're just not going to hear me beat you over the head about paying a tithe. Now, my testimony
Amen.
Is this. 12 years of pastoring, we started, you know, God just, we're non-denominational. We don't have anybody backing us. We're not connected with any other, you know, church where they can say, well, you know, they're helping us or anything like that. We just had a word from the Lord, and we started pastoring, me and my wife. 12 years of not asking or not teaching tithe, but I believe it's over in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, maybe the 9th chapter, somewhere around there, I began to teach giving freely. not grudgingly or under compulsion.
Amen.
For the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Okay.
And I've taught that for 12 years, and not once. And this, I'm going to give the church perspective, then I'm going to give my personal, me and my wife's personal testimony. From the church perspective, we've never been late on the rent. We've never missed a rent payment.
Amen.
I think we was late like 2 months. And I'm talking about a church. We didn't have no bank account. We had no nothing. We had nobody backing us. But I just, when I read that, and I felt that this is what God was telling me, because I had seen how money had destroyed my father's church because it wasn't used the right way. And so I was like, well, Lord, this can't be. This just can't. I know what they've been telling me for all these years, and I've been doing it. But that's on a personal. So I'm going to get to my personal. Let me finish with the church. I apologize. For 12 years, we was late on the rent, I think, for 2 weeks, for about 2 weeks. And you're talking about a church that, you know, we're not big or nothing like that. Like I said, no backing, just a word from the Lord. God supplied every need that our church has ever needed. Even during this corona, this pandemic,
amen.
God has
amen.
Given us favor. He's given us favor with the landlord of our building that has adjusted the rent, because he understands that we're not even in the building. We just went back Sunday for the first time in 9 months. But God sustained us even 9 months of not being in the building to be able to make the payments, to be able to keep the lights on. I want to give a quick shout out to our church CFO, Deacon Stanton.
Oh, glory.
God, I mean, he does a great job with working with the finances of the church. And the relationship that God gave me with the building's owner, Deacon Stanton, has developed that same relationship. And God has given us favor that every need. God would send people from across the country on a specific Sunday. I would say, hey, y'all, it's a spent Sunday. This is what the church needs. Those of you that can give such and such, let's give that to the glory of God. And God would send people from across the country. They Google the church. They just in for the weekend, wanted to find a Pentecostal church, a church that they can shout and dance and testify and sing their song. And they would come on that specific Sunday just passing through, and God would touch their hearts to be a blessing to the ministry, that whatever the need was, we met that need for that specific Sunday. And God has done that for us for over 12 years. That's just the church. Now, let me talk personally. Personally, I was told, well, you can't get your house. You can't get your car. You know, you ain't going to get this. You ain't. The Lord going to blow on it, and the Lord is going to be like holes and holes in your pockets and all that. And what I found out was there was a lot of manipulation, a lot of trickery that was going on. I haven't paid a tithe, what we call a tithe, in over 12 years, personally. Pastor, and me and my wife was in, I think, a one-bedroom apartment, maybe a two-bedroom apartment, struggling. We had two beat-up cars. Now, I'm just going off what the folks said. In order for God to bless you, this is what you got to do. So based on the criteria on what they said, you got to do this, you got to do that in order for God to bless you, I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't been doing that in 12 years. But I was struggling. We were struggling. I mean, when I say struggle, we was struggling. But I was doing what I thought was right to do in paying tithe. 12 years ago, I stopped. When I started pastoring, I stopped tithing. I started giving from my heart. And what the Lord, I feel, revealed to me, when I look back at it, some Sundays, some months, I was given even more than
Amen.
What I thought I should have been given based on the tithe. So I was giving even more, giving, you know, and just started giving from the heart, and whatever the church needed, whatever the church needed, me and my wife would take our tax money, you know, we would do whatever we could to make sure that the church had what it needed. Anybody that knows me and my wife, they know, you know, we're some of the first ones there. We're doing praise and worship. We're the musicians. Me, my family, we're the musicians at the church. You know, I'm pastoring, I'm preaching, and then we serve in our community, which is something that we've been doing now for almost 12 years also.
Amen.
So, what, Overseer, what I realized was, if I give freely, now this, and this is what I have taught, but I did, those that pay tithe at Praise Tabernacle, I never told them that don't y'all do it. I just ain't got no tricks for you. I can't manipulate nothing. I don't do it. I want you to give freely, because since I've been giving freely, I got more money in the bank account. I got some stock. I got some investment. I got a life insurance, a nice life insurance policy. I got three cars. Three cars, and one of them is brand new. I got three cars sitting in my driveway. And 2 years ago, the Lord blessed me and my wife to buy a five-bedroom home with a two-car garage, a big front yard, a big backyard. And God has blessed me with five beautiful children.
Amen.
So, Overseer, we're not and what I'm saying is, all what they told me, and a lot of it, even from my own father, it was manipulation. It was a lot of scare tactics to make you fear that God just, you know, oh, he's watching my dime. Well, yeah, but don't the Lord know I got, he's blessed me with these children, and they need some milk today. You know, I'm struggling with this light bill has to be paid. But you want to tell me at the church to bring that and put that in this pastor's hand, which God knows. And I'm only saying this because I know what happens in the back rooms. You know, I know dealing, you know, these tricks. And you find out your pastor paying his girlfriend, and nowadays he paying for his boyfriend too. You mean to tell me, God, because I'm a firm believer, before you can take care of the church like that, any man's first responsibility is to take care of his home.
Amen.
And that's what we've gotten away from. We've gotten away from, we want to be great, and I said this when I preached for the last few messages. We want to be great in the church. We want to be great in the community, but we got too many pastors that are not great in their home. Your members call you great. The civic leaders call you great, but your wife can't stand you. Your children can't stand you. Charity starts at home and then spreads abroad. Paul, I think it was Timothy or Titus, when he was giving the qualifications, and Oliver, y'all excuse me tonight. I know I'm not supposed to be on till tomorrow night, but y'all done stirred something up. When he was talking about the qualifications of a bishop, which the bishop, and that's a whole nother thing. The bishop, the pastor, the elder, the overseer is pretty much the same office. We've just made it a pyramid. Once again, motivation by power and money. So we got all these different roles or whatever. But the qualification, first of all, say if a man desires the office of a bishop, then it runs down the different things. But one of the things, Elder Oliver, that sticks out to me is when the scripture said, if the man can't take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? Then the other scripture that says, if a man does not provide for his own, he's worse or he's lower than an infidel. So when I begin to look at these scriptures and begin to teach and the Lord begin to show me, I haven't paid a tithe, but when there's a need in the church, then we give from the heart. Now, this is just Praise Tabernacle. Any of Praise Tabernacle members that are on, they say, yeah, that's pastor. That's what we've done. But like I said, we do have members that tithe, and that's what they believe they should do. And I don't knock it. I'm not mad at them. If that's what you believe, God ain't sending you to hell. But if that's what you believe, then we thank God for what you have given. And I just wanted to say that because y'all stirred it up tonight, and I couldn't see. I was sitting here trying to watch a movie and listen. I was like, uh-oh, they done went down my they done went down my lane. And then when the overseer said, I don't even argue it no more, I was like, well, I got to say something now because I got to the point I don't argue it no more, but I know what worked for me and my family. Now, what works for me and my family, according to your faith, let it work for you and yours. If you and your family say, oh, no, we got the tie, then that's what you do, okay? But at Praise Tabernacle, I'm not sending you to hell based on whether or not, you know, you tithe. We want you to give.
Want to ask you a quick question, and this is where it comes from for me. And like I said, because it, just with tithing, you know, or any of the ministries loving one another, I just want to know, right? Because I know a lot of churches that push, you know, they got 9-10 offerings. And
right.
And like I said, right. I grew up in the church. My father taught me, if he can't make it in one, we don't need to be, we wasn't called. If we can't make it with one offer,
hey, man.
We don't need to be called. So he never did no tricks either at barbecue dinners, yeah, and this and that and all that. He wasn't about that. He,
amen,
God,
right,
called me. He's going,
yeah,
to sustain me, you know, regardless,
yeah,
of whether people give or not, because it's his church.
Right.
He's going to make sure he's run. So I'm a,
amen,
firm believer of that. But also,
amen,
at the same time, listening to the scriptures and being like Christ wants us to be a good disciple.
Right.
You know, you have to support your local. You
right.
want to support your local ministry. It ain't got nothing to do with,
amen,
oh, well, Bishop getting my money. You know, Bishop got a job.
Right.
He don't need my money. That's the mindset.
Right.
I'm not giving it
right.
to him, regardless whether
right.
he got a new house or don't got a new house. It's not going to. I'm giving it for the Lord. And I think people
right.
lose focus of that because it's not taught, because people got a gimmick and a trick.
You're right.
And when you get the gimmick and the trick, you
right.
confuse these people, and they don't know what to do. So when they're
amen.
Not giving, because they got messed over somewhere else, you know, it's
right.
hard to try to bring them aboard when they've been hurt. Even when it comes up, because a lot of people have been in church a long time, don't give. They don't even love nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sow discord amongst somebody because of something that happened. Because I'm a firm believer, if you go to church with mess, something's going to happen. Either you're going to leave or you're going to be delivered.
Right.
But if you stay there and you're still doing the same thing year after year after year, something ain't right. Because the spirit should be convicted.
I agree.
And
I mean, that reminds me, a little overseer can back this up, of the man that was laid at the gate, laid at the pool for 30, I believe the Bible say 30 and 8 years he was just laid there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, dude, when are you going to, you know, he had excuses. You know, every time I try, somebody beat me in. And it just comes to the point, when are you going to eliminate all the excuses? You know, this is similar to what I was preaching about, what I've been preaching about the last few services, you know, with Adam and Eve. Now we're at the point now where Adam is blaming Eve, but Adam knew what God said, but he
Amen.
Chose still to disobey. He still chose to disobey. And that's what we have in the church nowadays. You know, people look for excuses and reasons not to give. But when you got Jesus,
right.
you look for a reason to give. I mean, there's no way. My dad used to say this. There's no, he would say it like this. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And then he would come back and say, for God so loved the world that he gave. See,
huh.
and giving,
sure.
and that giving from the heart, that I was about to say Evangelist K, I'm gonna get some folk in trouble, but Sister K was saying that earlier, your time, your talent, and this is another thing I teach, your time, your talents, okay, and then your finances, okay? So if you don't have finances, you got some time and you got a talent. There is something that God has given you that is to be a blessing to the body of Christ, even if it's just to stand at the door and say good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord one more time.
Man.
And you may not have enough, you may not have another dollar to give. You may not have another dime to give, but you are the best. You are anointed to sweep. You are anointed to dust. And Sister Oliver and Sister Asia and Janae, they and Sister Kenya and Sister Desiree, they are anointed to get rid of cobwebs, spider webs. They are anointed to sweep the sanctuary. They are anointed to clean the bathroom. And I thank God for them, because truth of the matter, my wife will tell y'all, I ain't running up on too many spider webs. I'm not anointed for that. But thank God he's blessed us with some people that are.
Amen.
Look, I'm going to say this and I'll be through. You got to have some people that's got some money. Okay, because ministry, you know, there is a business side. Okay, you know, there's a business side, I believe, to ministry. So you know, money meets all. You know, you want to have some people that's going to support. But then, too, you got to be careful with them, because if you're not careful with them, they'll think that it's their money that's doing everything. And then they'll try to run the pastor. Now, this is what I know what I'm talking about. And they'll try to dictate to the pastor what the pastor should do. And if the pastor is not careful, he'll start listening to the people that he feels is sustaining the ministry, and he will lose focus on God, which is the ultimate sustainer.
Amen.
So we as pastors, we got to be careful. So now you're not going to preach certain things because you know that tithe payer, they give big checks. So now you're not going to preach on fornication, or you're not going to preach on adultery, because that deacon you got, you know he pays good tithe and he gives good offering. Now you risk getting in trouble with God, like Eli, because you wouldn't rebuke and sit your sons down. Okay, because now, because of office and because of finances, and they give good gifts, now you risk the judgment of God. Eli was killed. Eli, because he would not rebuke and correct his sons, the Lord had to deal with Eli. The Lord had to deal with him. And I wanna tell every pastor, you better be careful. See, that's the reason. In the 12 years I've been pastoring, I can count on one hand the number of times I've been to the bank on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church. I learned that the heart lesson from seeing my father do what he did. So from day one, I've always had a team that handles the finances. I don't have to sign no check. I don't do all that. Can't nobody in 12 years produce a check that I've signed on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church. 12 years. Can't nobody. Because I've always put that in others' hands. Now, that's not knocking other pastors that do have to. I'm just saying, well, as the old commercial was, Hooked on Phonics worked for me. Okay, I saw, my experience was money got my daddy in a whole bunch of trouble, and it caused him to veer left instead of staying right. So because I was in the house and lived with the man and saw it, I made it a point, even to this day. We've had CFOs and president of finance committee, vice president of finance committee, and a finance team that helps me to run that part of the church. But I specifically stay out because of what happened in my family. Now, that's just my story.
Amen.
I thank you for it, Pastor. I really do thank you for you.
Amen.
I got a lot going on right now. I want to thank y'all. My brother,
oldest brother. He just texted me about he'd take over the church finances. And he'll write checks, you know. And he good for saying he'll write a check in a minute. You know, every one of my family know they take no checks from him. But anyway, I'm sorry, Bishop. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know it wasn't rehearsed or planned, but anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. Overseer, I want to thank you for you know coming in, helping us get through what we were going to talk about tonight. And again, I hope everyone got something out of it. It's not about, you know, can you follow Christ without knowing what he wants you to do? And I don't know how you can, but I'm going to let y'all, if you ain't being convicted, then keep doing what you're doing. But again, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in, listening.
Hey,
my brother got me super wanting to write a check.
Hey, Oliver. Thank you for having me, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, before you close, once things get back kind of normal, I don't know if they ever get back, but we need to get Overseer here in Lawrenceville one Sunday.
Well, you know, I can't hold water, but it's coming sooner than you think. He don't even know he's coming with anything. But when he comes, I'm going to let him link up with him. But it's going to be sooner than
what you
think. Because my wife was actually supposed to go to Texas. And because of the pandemic, we had to cancel that trip.
Right.
But we got some stuff coming up that they may be here.
All right.
So we're going to get him down here. We don't get him down here. I feel like he's my brother, and I ain't even met him yet. So,
yeah, I know that's right. Amen. That's right, brother.
Down here. So, we connected in Texas because that's where he's at. So, we'll definitely be connected, and, you know, we got a lot going on.
That's
so
right.
I just want to thank y'all, especially y'all when I can call you on a dime and you can just pick up and just jump in.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm all over the place sometimes. So I just want to thank you. And, Bishop, you know, I owe my engineer some lunch because I told him I was going to be out of here at 8 o'clock. And you did one of my numbers.
Hey, blame that on your wife and the overseer. The overseer wife kicked that off.
I'm just saying. I said, we're going to be out here at 8 o'clock. They said, we bet you lunch. I said, no lunch. I'm on Monday this tonight. And then Bishop texts me, can I get in? And I'm like, okay. And now I got food time coming on my phone. But that's all good. It's all good. We're going to double or nothing tomorrow night. But I want to thank y'all again for coming on tonight. Again, to everybody. And I tell everyone, and I'm going to be a little long-winded again real quick. I'm going to make it real quick. And I think I shared this with the overseer. My wife, back in December, knew I wasn't happy. And I was miserable spiritually. And she said she's going to find me a church. And I'm like most men, I'm listening to my wife, you know, half listening. And when she showed me the YouTube where we was going, I didn't even look at it. And I'm telling you what, from the first Sunday I stepped into Praise Tabernacle, I've been there ever since.
Amen.
And it reminds me a lot of my
father. All glory.
So that's why I like it. I'm just connected to it. I'm just right there with it. And every time I get around those men, it's a blessing. I told my wife Saturday, she said, you seem happy. I just left the men at the church. It's just a good thing to be around good, solid men. You know, with no game, no gimmick. When I talk to the bishop, I'm talking to my brother. He don't have that bishop
title. Right.
You know what I'm talking about. Always
coach. Right.
You want to be higher minded than everybody else. He's down to earth, just right on that level where you can communicate. He's a Falcon fan, but he's all right. You know, we all ain't perfect. We all ain't perfect. And we all can't be still a fan, Brother Tim, but you know, we all can't be still a fan, but it's okay.
But,
you know.
Overseer, you better get him. Get him, Overseer.
Yeah, all right. Overseer is still a fan. He just like Elder Taylor. He's still a fan. Okay. It's still a thing. So, you know, you surround it.
That's right.
Still people. But with that being said, I do got to get out of here. We got things going on. We got to do a fire drill in the house real quick. Y'all pray for us. Me and my wife, keep us in prayer. But I was just saying that since I've been there, it's like you found a home. It's like, you know, you've been searching years. You find it. You just don't have no problem going to work. You just have no problem serving the Lord. You just have no problem doing anything.
That's
just being you. And when you can go to church and be you and be me, as much hell as I raise sometimes, you know, I know I'm in the right spot. I know I'm in the right
Amen.
That's
all right,
just
brother.
Let me be me. It's okay. Because you know how I get over here. You know, I talk about everything. And I'll call people out. You know, I'll call their names out.
Right.
And I know I don't want to make my wife
remember.
But there's some preachers that did her wrong. And you know, they on my list. And they know who they are. And I'm when I say this, I just say this in all honesty, because you
Amen.
Know, I hear you trying to cut me off, wife. I'm being ready to close. I ain't gonna say any name, but they did it wrong, and when they're doing it wrong, did her whole family wrong. And as mean as God, you know, I ain't the one to say, you know, they gonna let the Lord fight the battle, but. Deacon Stanton taught me about having a grace and mercy credit card. And the Lord gave
That's
me
right.
a grace and mercy credit card that I can
That's
charge
right.
on my account about how they
Amen.
And if it may not come out right, but it's just the way it is. You
wow.
know, they're going to charge people to have a funeral. And, you know, just charge,
wow.
just do stuff that just makes me upset. But I'm not going there tonight. I'm going to leave it alone.
We're not going there in the name of Jesus.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
Okay.
I'm trying to let it go, wife. So I'm gonna go ahead and let you close this out so I can get off. I'm done. Thank y'all, Pastor Bishop.
Thank you. Dear.
For those that's listening tonight, be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Same time, same phone number. We got Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. I'm telling you. You will be just listen. I'm gonna take a listen. Don't take my word for it. Just fall back and listen, and tell me you want
Amen.
To be here every night at 7 o'clock. All you gotta do is listen, and it don't
Amen.
Matter who's teaching, because they some awesome teachers. And sometimes it ain't even the teacher; it's the comments coming from the panel that will woe you. So if you ain't doing nothing tomorrow
Amen.
Night, Bishop Omar, Zachary is. Wife Pamela Zachary will be on with a Bible study tomorrow with a team of elders and evangelists on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Same channel, same phone number. And with this being said, before I get in trouble because I feel something stirring me up, I'm going to let my wife take it out.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming on tonight. We appreciate all the knowledge that you've given us and shared with us, testimonies and life experience. We thank y'all for coming on, and you're welcome anytime. I'm going to close us out in prayer. Dear gracious God, all-knowing God, sovereign God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, thank you for everything on tonight. Thank you for allowing us to come together and to learn a little bit more about you. To help someone along the way to do what you called them to do. We thank you for increasing our relationships with you. Thank you for allowing us and helping us to be intentional in our walk with you. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you just touch the heart of a person that heard the word on tonight. Convict them where they need to be convicted, and just comfort those who need to be comforted. We pray for healing for anyone out there that's not feeling to the best of their abilities in their bodies. We thank you for your loving arms of protection, guidance, and direction. And we ask that you just continue to let your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kay.
Amen.
From out there, Radio World, this is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.